And I tell everyone there's nothing wrong with working with a ghostwriter or an author coach because it's still your words. It's still your content. So it's not really cheating where that, I guess, that kind of fine line where I draw the line is. If it doesn't sound like the person, I'm doing them a disservice because now it's not going to help them achieve anything because no one's going to believe it's them.
Welcome to The Author's Leverage, the podcast where we explore the journeys that await you beyond your book. I'm your host, Parshel Tashi, and in each episode, we connect with best-selling authors, publishing experts, and industry pros to unveil the pathways that enable you to leverage and amplify your book for extraordinary impact and income. Whether you're a seasoned author or just embarking on your authorpreneur adventure, prepare to be inspired. Today, we're joined by a guest who's going to share some invaluable insights with us. But before I introduce them, I want to invite you to download your copy of our ebook and its companion digital workbook. It's called 5 Ways to Get More Bang for Your Book. It's a comprehensive guide to supercharge your author journey, and you can find it below this episode, along with where you can connect with us on social media, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Now, let's dive into today's episode and take a sneak peek into the future of your success as an author. Friday, I am so excited for this conversation I'm going to have. I want to introduce you to my guests. We're talking really more deeply, and I think you're going to enjoy the conversation just in the way that my buddy here approaches book and writing, like the entire process. Very excited to introduce you to Matthew Harms. He is a New York born and raised ghostwriter and author coach. It's been said that everybody has a story to tell, but unfortunately, most go through life thinking that theirs will never be read since they lack the ability to construct cohesive and compelling written content into the finished form of a book. That's like the big thing to tackle. As a lifelong writer, Matthew has learned from and adapted his various experiences in fields such as finance, project management, and real estate to help those with the desire to help make the world a better place. In the ghostwriting space, he prides himself on providing a voice for the voiceless, working with clients who have a message of growth or inspiration that can make the world a better place. And as an author coach, Matthew partners with aspiring and experienced writers who do not want to have someone else write their story by helping them to identify gaps and enhance strengths so they can take their projects to the next level. Matthew is author of Grow Up, No Really, and Employed, a career readiness manual, books designed to help people enrich their lives through basic skills and career readiness training. When he's not focused on helping others, Matthew's other passions are writing forms of fiction, both novels and screenplays, and spending time with his children. So I'm so excited. Thanks, Matt, for being here. Welcome to the Author's Leverage podcast.
It is my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm very interested in you. I mean, I'm excited that you're here. I know we connected some time back, and since then, I love the name of your podcast and just some of the ways that you talk about the pen, right? This is the pen for hire. And I'm really interested just to kick things off in the conversation. Share a little bit about your journey, man, because as a writer, you have lots of experiences in, like I said, finance, project management, real estate. How have these areas influenced your approach to ghostwriting and helping to coach authors?
Yes, a lot of my experience came about because growing up, I wanted to be a writer. I was told that wasn't a real job, had to go to college, had to get some type of degree. Without much further advice than that, I went, studied finance, which is where that part of my background came in, dabbled in project construction industry for a little bit along the way, which is that's one of the things that I still really do, in addition to helping people write their books. But all of those experiences really have allowed me to look at things in a completely different way, right? Because writing is very much introspective, and real estate, finance, You've got to get in other people's heads to figure out what they want from to buy a house. You've got to understand what they're looking for. And all of these different experiences have allowed, or at least I feel, allowed me to enhance my questioning ability, my ability to dig deeper and get beneath the surface of what my clients are looking to write about.
Absolutely. Helps you just really dive in, right, and get to the meat of things. I'm pretty sure, like you said, it's very introspective. It's very in-depth. So I totally get that. Now, I love how you describe a ghostwriter, like the process of being having a ghostwriter. It's like the power to give a voice to the voiceless, I think is what you said in your bio. And that's so true. And I know that navigating that and capturing these unique voices and messages, that's a gift. That's a skill, man. So how do you navigate? How do you go about capturing someone's unique voice and their message and helping them construct it into writing, into that process?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest part of ghostwriting is really not the writing. And people usually look at me sideways when I say that, because we all, to some extent, have the ability to write, right? We all understand the English language. We all write every day, whether it be text messages, emails, but it's really listening, because I've got to listen two or three times as hard as I do the writing, because that voice, right? You can't write exactly as you speak because it just doesn't sound right. But at the same time, the words have to come out sounding like you, right? So if I was ghostwriting a book for you, Pershell, it would have to be where anyone who picks that book up, who's ever heard you speak on your podcast, anyone you've ever held a conversation with, that they could pick up that book and say, oh my goodness, I can hear Pershell saying that. Not, oh, who wrote that book for her? Because once someone says, it doesn't sound like that person, it's over.
Yeah, like you're called out. You're on Front Street.
Yeah. And I tell everyone there's nothing wrong with working with a ghostwriter or an author coach, because it's still your words. It's still your content. So it's not really cheating. Where that, I guess, that kind of fine line where I draw the line is, if it doesn't sound like the person, I'm doing them a disservice, because now it's not going to help them achieve anything, because no one's going to believe it's them.
So true. So true. And in particular with coaching authors, like you said, for yourself, you had to take your own advice in writing your own book that you just released on this past October on real estate. So what things did you learn in that, even being the author and also being an author coach?
So I actually learned that everything I tell people is not BS. Because in theory, that's my fourth book, third nonfiction, but fourth overall. But I've never really followed my own process to the letter, which involves scheduling the time at least three hours a week somewhere on my calendar at a time where I know I'm going to show up and write. All the other books have just come because I knew I wanted to write a book, and I worked on it here and there. So this particular time was very much like, all right, let me go through the steps that I walk my coaching clients through and see, you know, what this feels like. And I was able to finish the rough draft, not to publishing, but just got all the words out in the right, relatively right order in 6 weeks, because I followed the advice I give my coaching clients, which then told me there really is no excuse for someone not to be able to at least do it in 6 months.
So true. And that's powerful. I think that's powerful. And having written your own book as well, following your own advice, and then all the other people that you've helped, it speaks to, again, your method, your approach, your style in which you're able to do that and support people. And like you said, it's not BS, right? This is the stuff that actually works, and you're proof of it in your own work.
And it's one of those things for along the way of helping so many people write books. I thought, am I really telling them the truth? Is it that simple? Because you get so deep in what you do. You don't think about it. The other books that I had written were a couple of years ago. So I'm like, huh. How did I do those again? And really just sitting down and doing it. Yes, it's different because I write easily 10 to 20,000 words a week combined between all of the projects I work on. So I probably have a little bit of a leg up than my coaching clients who this is their first book, which is why I say if I could do it in 6 weeks, they could do it in 6 months. But really was at points challenging too, because I'm very big on editing as I go. And I tell everyone not to do that. And I tell them just get it down. Don't worry about the red squiggly line. You can come back to that. It's going to derail you. And I found myself doing that. And I had to remind myself, like, no, that's not what you tell people to do. So try to do it the way you tell them. And it was tremendous. And when my editor got it, she was probably like, this is the ugliest thing you've ever sent me. But it's fine. With my rough draft.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love that. I love that. It's the coach using their own playbook and getting the results just as great, especially with your skill set. And, you know, like you said, having written so much already, right? It's still that these principles, these things are going to support you in the process. And it's really got me thinking, too, of the importance of having an author coach on your side if you're going through this process. Sure, you can go about it yourself, right? Open up a Google Doc and start the writing process. But I'm just already coming to my head just thinking like that would be, and it is a lonely process.
It is. And honestly, the biggest thing for me in the coaching isn't so much the mechanics, because I personally believe there's no right or wrong way to write a book. You want to write it from the end to the beginning? Sure. You want to start in the middle? That's fine. It's really the accountability and keeping someone motivated and keeping someone invested and reminding them that their message is valuable. Because a lot of people, what trips them up is they don't think anyone wants to read what they have to say. And then start questioning why they're doing it to begin with.
Exactly. I know that you just shared kind of your own success story, having gone through your process and your steps of writing. Would you mind sharing another success story, maybe an author coach experience that for you that stands out in terms of one of your clients or product that you worked on?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I have a few. They've all been guests on my podcast, so anyone who wants to go back and listen to the episodes, they can. But one of my clients who had come to me had a book in mind for years and had like volumes and volumes of research they had done for this book, because it was a mental health book. So a lot of the content was very clinical, and that was their concern, is they didn't want to write a book that sounded like a textbook. So that one was really gratifying, because we started out meeting every week till about the second month, where she started seeing the traction. And started realizing that once you get it moving, the accountability, you need a little less of it, because now you've got the bug, as I like to say. You're like, oh, this is working. There's words on paper. And what I do in those instances is we're not meeting. We do work in a shared Google document. So I'm behind the scenes every week, seeing what's done and reading behind the author and giving them some feedback and encouragement and pointing out spots where maybe they need to dig a little deeper. Or maybe possibly move the content around. It's almost like having a developmental editor in your back pocket as well as a coach.
Well, that's pretty powerful. Like, and having that kind of experience, you guys get to be working in the same doc and you're getting some edits and encouragement along the way.
She got it done in 9 months, came back to me a couple months later. She had built a companion workbook for the book and was planning on doing, I think, at least 4 more workbooks, because in the book she wrote, it was very heavily about the 5 core emotional needs. So each one of those is getting its own breakout workbook, field manual, whatever, however you want to describe it. And she is starting to really see the possibilities that just having one book can open in your professional life. Because not only can you repurpose that into 5 workbooks, right? It's courses, webinars. Once you've got all that content out of your head, gives you other avenues. The other unsung benefit of writing a book is how much mental real estate, I had to get my plug back to real estate, but it frees up a ton of mental real estate, because now all of this knowledge that you've been carrying around with you, once you've put it on paper, it's like it frees up all of this room in your head to think of and focus on other things.
Exactly. And I would imagine too that, to your point, again, because we're all about leveraging books, right? Leverage your expertise in different ways. And I just to point out that with an author coach or somebody to help you to construct and make something that's cohesive, that's compelling, that is like really rich and potent, that can be repurposed in several things. And I often find that there are books that it's okay, we can do a couple things, you know what I mean, to repurpose, but based on how it was structured, how it's laid out, actually lends itself oftentimes to a bunch of ways that you can leverage it. Workbooks, courses, workshops, events, masterminds, retreats. It goes on and on and on.
And this is why I love having folks like you in my circle of professionals, because I don't really love that other stuff, right? I love the getting the book out there. I love the seeing the satisfaction of knowing that they've accomplished something. I don't even have a statistic on this, but I would guarantee you probably less than 1 or 2% of the population have ever written a book. It's not a small. So getting that part done and seeing the satisfaction there for me is tremendous. The rest of the stuff that comes with it, everything you just mentioned is, yeah, I know it can be done and I'll throw out the suggestions, but I don't want to do it for them.
Yeah, I do. That's awesome. What advice then do you have for people who want to become authors, maybe already authors, but they struggle with coming up with something that's cohesive, compelling, right? So that way the nuts and bolts of it are potent and effective.
The biggest piece of advice I can give is find a professional whether that be an author coach, whether that be a developmental editor, anyone who has knowledge of writing a book. So preferably someone who's written a book before, or if not, has at least professionally edited other published works, not someone who dabbles as a proofreader in their free time, not your high school English teacher, not your Uncle Jim who took a college writing course. You need someone who's got professional experience and can be impartial, because nothing is gained by someone telling you, oh, it's great, right? Yeah, maybe it is, but there's always an opportunity, right? In my own books, I'm going on my fifth book. I know I still have tremendous opportunity when my draft is done, and I need somebody to really poke holes in things and make me think about what I could have or should have done differently. Author is going to have the final say. No one can make you change something, but just having that open and transparent dialogue and pushing back and maybe having the difficult conversations. No one wants to hear their baby's ugly, but sometimes your chapter might be ugly.
This is so true. You need that truth. You really want somebody to be honest with you, not just be a yes man or somebody that's like, yeah, it's good. Like, you're right. Like, you want somebody that's going to not be biased and really come in with an eye to just looking out for the best interest of the work.
Absolutely. Especially considering in any instance, it's embarrassing if you tell someone it's great, they publish it, and then they start Amazon and people are like, this is horrible. That in and of itself is bad, but most of my clients are looking to use their book as part of their professional tool, right? It's a business card. It's a door opener. So if that book sucks, it does more damage to their reputation than not having a book.
Exactly. And to that point, I know that you have a number of projects that are before you to work on. Oftentimes, how do you choose, of course, with the idea of you want to make the world a better place through written word, how do you choose a project that you work on, whether as a ghostwriter or as an author coach?
So basically author coaching is a little different. I'm a little looser in my requirements because I'll do author coaching for fiction. When it comes to ghostwriting, I'll speak specifically to that because I do not ghostwrite fiction. For me, there, that's cheating. If you can't tell your own idea that lives in your head without coaching, you want me to do it for you, I've got a problem with that.
Yeah.
But as far as ghostwriting clients, my general three pillars are: it has to be educational, motivational, and inspirational, or any combination of the three. So that by you helping get that knowledge out there, you're going to positively impact someone else's life. So that's the three pillars. And then this should go without saying, but unfortunately, I've had instances where I realized later the person wasn't quite the thought leader in the space they thought they were. And a lot of when they were having me was plagiarized or pulled from the internet and other people's thought leadership repackaged. So it has to be original as well. Like, you have to actually be the expert on your topic and not say, I want to write a book about nutrition and then just throw a bunch of random third-party resources at me and say, put this book together.
Yeah. That's hugely important. The originality of the content is huge. Yeah.
And it's I don't want anyone to mistake that by saying it has to be completely like never been done before, because that's virtually impossible. Everything's been done in some way, shape, or form. So you may not be the first person who wants to write a leadership book, but your unique experiences and perception and thought leadership in leadership has to be your own.
Exactly. And what do you see for, this is an interesting topic around thought leadership. What do you see is the future of thought leadership over the next year to 3 years?
We live in an age where everything is so available so instantly. You can Google, you can use ChatGPT. There's so many ways that people can get quick answers to what they need. And because of the internet, you can find, if I want a real estate agent, I'm going to lean into the book that I wrote in October and why. If you want a real estate agent, all you're going to do is go on Google and type in realtor near me. I'm going to get the sponsored ones. I'm going to get whatever comes up. And then I have the responsibility of deciding based on reviews or whatever the feedback is, who I want to potentially work with. Mm-hmm. But what's differentiating people in their particular field beside just where they rank in Google is how they can display to their potential clients that they know what they're doing. So for me, in a tough real estate market where there's not a lot of houses to sell, when I get an opportunity for somebody who may want to who may be looking to work with a realtor and they ask why they should work with me over somebody else, I can literally say I wrote the book on real estate and give them a copy of it and say, here's everything you need to know about how I work. Here's what your experience is going to be. Most people are going to look at it and go, that's 200 pages. I really didn't need that much. But you did write the book on real estate, so you must know what you're doing.
Exactly. Exactly. And gosh, and you're right, because there is so much information that's out there already. The key is in your ability to demonstrate. That's what I heard you say, your ability to demonstrate what, and make that visible for people to experience.
Yes. And in the next 3 to 5 years, which I think the time frame you asked about, that's only going to become more and more important, because everyone is exploring all of these new channels that are out there. Everyone's doing social media advertising. Everyone is stepping it up because they know visibility is so important, but you've got to have some substance. Can you get hired just by being the most visible? Maybe, but depending again, what industry you're operating in, what you're charging your potential clients, most people are going to want a little more substance behind the glitter.
Exactly. Exactly. Because it's just going to, like you said, if not, like you say, you put something out there, you get poor reviews back because it's just not as effective, or it's just potentially a copy of something that already exists. It doesn't have that originality. Like, all those things really matter.
Oh, yeah. And in real estate, finance, even coaching. It's so easy to go out there and just steal someone else's thought leadership, even if you cite it. I'll use real estate. Just go on social media and follow most real estate agents. They're just putting out the same images, the same home buying tips that they bought from some social media content developer. And I tend to think that 75 to 80% of real estate agents don't even understand what they're putting out there. They're just trying to push out content to generate visibility.
It's a really good point. I remember seeing some articles recently just about the importance of content and putting it out there, but then also the pressure that there is to, and the effect of essentially bland, if you call it bland, content being out there and it being so much of it. To your point, like, to be able to demonstrate and be in the action of what you teach, I think is what's next. You're going to be more apparent.
And that's what I tell every one of my clients. Number one is that your book's not for everybody. So when we first start writing a book, hours of our engagement is focused on strategy, who their ideal reader is. And their ideal reader is generally who their ideal client is. So what is the avatar or the psychographic profile of the people who pay you money for what you do? Because that's who we have to gear the book towards. Because you know this as well as I do, people buy a book to solve a problem, but 25% of people are lazy and they never put, no matter how great, put anything actionable into play after reading the book. They may not even finish the book, but if by chapter one or two, they can relate to you as a professional that I'd work with, that's your goal. You want them reaching out to you and saying, hey, I bought your book. I didn't finish it, but here's my problem. How do I work with you?
Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant. And that's such a good strategy around, like, really what comes to mind when I think about bringing out your best work or bringing out the best in your work in the form of a book or an experience. To your point, like, that's one really great strategy. Are there any others that come to mind for you and how you approach, again, in the line of how can I bring out the best of my clients' work?
Really, again, it goes back to that listening, is understanding beyond just who their client is and what they're looking to accomplish. Making sure that they are putting it all on the table, right? Because one of the big things I see this in ghostwriting and I see it in coaching is our natural desire to censor ourselves, right? There may be certain things we feel a little embarrassed to put out there. It's like, oh, maybe I don't want to include that in the book. And I'm not saying anyone should put something in a book that they're really ultimately not comfortable with. But when you're going through the writing and the creative process, no one's reading that but you and possibly me or whoever the professional you're working with is. Like, going to confession, it's just you and the priest. Put it on paper and maybe it doesn't make the final cut. And I've had so many clients thank me for making them do that because there are things that actually made it to the final cut they never thought would have. Did we reframe it and maybe soften it a little bit? Absolutely. But it still made it in the book, whereas they thought they would never, ever admit to certain things because it was just embarrassing. But people want real, right?
Yeah.
You can't just be that guru who's pointing down and telling people what to do. They have to be able to relate to you and know that you're a human being.
That is like probably one of the most powerful things I've heard so far in terms of a strategy and what you're saying, because you're right. Put it all out there. Put it all down. Get everything out as raw and from you as possible. And like I said, some of the things that stay there really accomplish the result of connecting with the reader in a more personable way. And you can often tell that in reading a book because of how you feel.
Yes, thank you. That emotion is what you're trying to get from the reader. If you can get them to have an emotional connection to you and what you're saying, the rest is easy. Otherwise, it's like reading a textbook. It's like, wow, this is just content and I'm bored as F.
Yes. Oh, man. So true. Matt, I could talk to you for much, much longer and likely we'll bring you back on and have more conversations. This is excellent. I would love for you to share where people can reach out and contact you. Please also send people to where they can check out your podcast as well and check out your newest real estate book, which I think, to your point in the way that you approach your writing, would be a very interesting read for people just to see and connect with you as well. So let us know where we can get a hold of those things.
Absolutely. Best place to always start is penforhire.com. So penforhire.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Everything is Pen for Hire or Pen for Hire NYC. Our podcast, which we've got to get you on so we can also continue this conversation, penpodcast.com. It's on YouTube as the Pen Podcast. We're on Spotify, Apple. And then the book is Get Real, Building Knowledge and Wealth Through Real Estate. That's available on Amazon. For anyone who's worried less than 200 pages, I promise you, there are so many just entertaining stories of things that I have experienced in the real estate world that will make your jaw drop. So there's a lot of value in there. There is a lot of information, but it's presented in a way that I like to think is engaging.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. And I highly recommend those that are tuning in to this conversation, definitely go hit up Matt's podcast and other resources he just mentioned, especially the podcast for sure, because as you mentioned earlier, Matt, like you've got some other interviews that you've done with other authors. And I definitely see that being beneficial to anyone else who's in the space of writing and publishing a book. So I'm very excited. Thank you for that, Matt. And also, as we start to wrap up the conversation, I'd love for you to share any last parting words of advice. And if you would like to take me up on it, I usually ask all of my guests, what is their one word for the year?
Ooh, okay. So parting last word is, everyone has a book in them. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I don't know, you have a book in you. The easiest way to write a book is to literally just writing. Like you mentioned, pull up a Google Doc, break out a notebook. I don't care. Just start putting word on paper. Don't worry about anything else. And if I had to come up with one word for the year, man, that was tough. I am going to say pacing.
I love it. Patience.
Yep. That ties back to the conversation you and I were having about how it's already like January 16th, 17th. Year is flying by. And when you're doing things like writing a book or you're an entrepreneur, the year can get away from you before you know it. You don't take enough time. So pacing.
I love it. I love it. I'm on the same boat as you. Definitely just like being just more aware and taking strategic steps and not trying to, in my case, run through and do a million things. Pacing is important. For sure. Matt, I'm so appreciative that you joined me on the Author's Leverage. Again, for those tuning in, highly recommend connecting with Matt and tuning back into other conversations. Thanks you guys for being here.
Thank you, Rochelle.
All right, that concludes another episode of the Author's Leverage. And I trust you're leaving today's conversation inspired and equipped to see your book as a source for so many possibilities. Before we part ways, I want to remind you to download your copy of the ebook and its digital companion workbook, 5 Ways to Get More Bang for Your Book. Again, it's a roadmap that's going to be useful to help you unlock the full potential of your book. Find it on our website, connect with us on social media, subscribe to the podcast, and share it along with a fellow author. Until next time, remember that your words have the power to change lives. So keep innovating keep leveraging, and keep making an extraordinary impact. We'll see you next time.